Welcome to the Lux Core podcast, the ultimate hangout spot for all things Pilates. Whether you're a newbie, a seasoned pro, or even a Pilates instructor yourself, get ready to dive into the world of Pilates every week. We'll be interviewing industry professionals, from instructors and studio owners to educators and equipment designers, sharing their wisdom, sparking new conversations about hot topics, and hearing from some of your favorites in the field. So, if you're all about movement, wellness, and hearing expert tips on all things Pilates, then grab a comfy spot and let's get started. Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode. This week we meet with Pete Pallai, a former Olympian, Lululemon Legacy Ambassador, and Master Instructor for Balanced Body. With over 15 years of experience within the Pilates industry, he shares his insights on entering a predominantly female-populated industry after a very athletic career. He talks about discovering your niche within the Pilates industry, how Pilates supported him during a difficult period in his life, and the advantages of regular practice for both men and athletes. This episode is a must-listen for any aspiring instructors. Pete holds over 15 courses yearly for balanced body students and encourages an open teaching style that allows students to explore different methods within the practice. During a challenging contemporary flow that he took me through on the Reformer, Pete definitely put me through my paces. And honestly, even after 48 hours, my core is still feeling it. But I really hope you enjoy this conversation. Please welcome Pete Pallai to the podcast. Welcome to the Lux Core Collection podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for coming to visit us.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for the brutal workout you just put me through on a Reformer.
A little spicy taster.
So before we get into you as an instructor, a master balanced body instructor, we're going to do a quick fire round just to start things off. Okay. So tea or coffee?
Coffee, one a day.
One a day. One I'm the same,
in
actually.
The morning. Yeah,
just
yeah.
One really strong one. Very good.
Yeah. But I'm lost without it.
Yes.
It's odd. My little addiction, amongst others, chocolate mm-hmm. and ice cream as well.
Ice cream. Yeah. Flavor?
Just give all me gelato. I'm pretty happy. I'm easy to please.
Everything. Yeah. Brilliant. Reformer or mat?
Reformer.
Yeah. And I guess while we're here, Reformer or Cadillac or Tower?
Interesting. They've all got their benefits. To be mm-hmm. honest, I think I strayed away from mat a lot too much early on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I rediscovered it. I mean, primarily we're a Reformer studio.
Yes.
But the benefits of mat are amazing.
Yeah.
And it's the foundations, of course. But I do, in my own practice, I do play around a lot with mat exercises.
Good. And then classical or contemporary?
If I'm honest, I'd have to say contemporary.
Okay.
Although I highly value the classical, so mm-hmm. I think there's a fusion there.
Absolutely. Privates or classes?
I love the energy of classes. Mm-hmm. Again, we mostly focus on one-to-ones,
mm-hmm.
And we have a handful of classes, but I love the dynamics of the class and the interaction.
Yeah.
And the competition.
Yeah. Healthy competition.
Healthy competition, always, yeah.
Always. And I've been this bare feet or grip socks, but I do feel like, as a whole, the grip sock community is more female than it is male. But you kind of, most of your practice is done in bare feet?
My personal practice, yes.
Yeah.
We're having an amazing opportunity here because we live barefoot. You know,
yes.
we are all day long barefoot, and we lose this sense of the mm-hmm. earth and the ground and everything else. So, mm-hmm. yeah, and my toes aren't too pointy, so I'm quite lucky. But I prefer, I think, again, the feedback, again,
yes.
feedback I prefer if I'm sockless.
Yeah, grounded. Favorite athleisure brand right now?
Vuori.
Mm.
Vuori clothing.
I'm so glad that you've pronounced that in the way that I've always questioned how it's supposed to be pronounced. So Vuori.
Vuori. Yeah, it's a tricky one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hope I don't get shot for this. I'm a Lululemon ambassador, legacy ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
So for years it was Lululemon. Still love the clothing and what they offer. Mm-hmm. I mean, but this is Vuori. It's the most tactile, soft, mm-hmm. comfortable, and doubles up. You know, mine's branded, but unbranded, I wear it all the time.
Yeah, it's easy to mix with your
jeans. Space. It's coming on strong.
Yeah, they've just opened in London, haven't they?
So. They are opening Covent Garden. I think they're opening a big new store as well.
Exciting. Central. Yeah. Let's check them
Bigger
out.
Bigger range.
Yeah. And favourite wellness tip that you'd like to, give clients, I guess?
Sleep and water.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty
it's a
much.
Common theme, actually. A lot of the
it is a common theme, and I guess I come from a position of authority because I get carried away during the day and I forget to drink water,
mm-hmm.
fluid, and quite often the clients remind me.
Yes,
they're having a sip and the break. I think, oh yeah, I got
it. Yeah, it does. It takes for someone else to do it, and then you're like, oh, I should be also doing that. Yeah,
yeah. So regular sleep and keeping kind of fairly regular hours as well.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Lovely. Well, obviously, welcome to the podcast. So we have so much to kind of unravel, and I'll probably try and keep this under an hour again.
Okay.
But you are a balanced body master instructor, mm-hmm. two-time Olympian, Lululemon ambassador, and studio owner and trainer. So in order to unravel that, I think maybe we go back to your life before Pilates and... Mm-hmm. I guess as an Olympian, can you tell us a little bit more about that experience and sort of how you found it as well?
Yes, I was a waddling gym bunny, many years of rugby.
Mm-hmm.
To look at me now, you probably wouldn't believe I was a prop, front row forward for many years. So
wow.
My body changed immensely. I grew a neck, which is an amazing benefit to Pilates. So yes, I used to run in Bassey running track as part of my training,
mm-hmm.
with a friend, sprints, passing a rugby ball around. Got into a conversation, trying to cut this short, conversation with two people. One was a coach, one was the person he was training. We exchanged sort of niceties, talked about what we were doing. And this guy was getting ready for the Lillehammer Olympics in bobsleigh. And I said, oh, amazing, can I play? And I said it as a throwaway joke.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, can you push? I said, don't be so silly. I'm a rugby player. Of course I can push.
Yeah.
Which is the most stupid, naive thing you could say because it's got no correlation, no association, no
different
whatsoever.
To a scrum.
Yeah, so plus, props are not renowned for sprinting.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, come to Thorpe Park where the Brits have a bobsleigh on wheels and they practice their pushes.
Really?
I said, okay.
Gosh.
So I went along and said, mm-hmm. okay, yeah, you can push. You could probably do it with a bit more speed, but you can push. And that was it. And then randomly, 2 months later, I got a phone call. I just started my then business saying, Pete, remember me, it's Nick. I'm in St Moritz. We're at the World Championship Finals. My brake man's injured. Would you come out and push? Well, I've never seen a bobsleigh or bob track. So,
oh, my word.
Yeah. I thought, oh, okay, I'll do that. And very naively, had no idea what to expect. And
mm-hmm.
Again, long story short, got out there, had a few practice runs. By runs, I mean a bobsleigh in a car park, running on the spot, practicing your load in, jumping and jumping out. That was all I had.
Wow.
And then supposedly memorizing the track. And
that's the twists and the turns of it.
The twists and the turns, the runaways, mm-hmm. at which, and actually, St Moritz is a quirky track. You have to brake before the last corner. Whereas normally you break at the end, but it's to slow you down through a tricky corner,
right.
so that you don't flip. I did my thing. I got warmed up. There was a lot of people there, a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
I ran. I screamed. I did everything I thought I was supposed to do. Jumped in. Thought, well, this is not that impressive because it felt very slow and sluggish.
Mm-hmm.
But before long, it was a white knuckle ride, and it was a bang, 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 and then into corners and 5 Gs around horseshoe.
Wow.
And I lost track completely of where I was. So I didn't break before that last corner. Somehow we got through it, but we kind of took off a little bit airborne at the end of the track. So it's a very dramatic start to the whole thing.
Oh my gosh.
Sounds a bit like cool runnings, but that's how it was.
That's actually all I'm envisioning right now.
Somehow I kept my place and my space and carried on for another several years.
Wow. I mean, what an experience.
Yeah.
And did you find it something that you felt quite naturally good at because of your background? And
I think the strength was good for me. I was mm-hmm. at that point in life where I was doing a lot of heavy weights and I felt strong, and the power of pushing the bob was great.
Mm-hmm.
The running was uncomfortable. I had to work very hard at sprint work and drills and doing all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I did always like the excitement and the adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
It is a scary sport. It's a lot of work for 1 minute, for 1 minute's race or just mm-hmm. under. It's just an amazing experience to be in there. But it's very difficult to describe because on the TV you just see this thing sliding down.
Mm.
Whereas it's very noisy, and if you tap the sides, it doesn't look like much on the screen, but actually when you're inside the bob, it really just resonates through you. Yeah. And there's also can be quite a lot of whiplash. Again, you don't realize it, but you know, that's why you have to be very still, very steady and head down.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't get too technical.
Do you have much control of it once you're in? I guess the run-up is obviously your momentum, it gets the sort of movement, but once you're inside, it's a case of just bringing your body weight together and moving as one?
Yeah, kind of. I suppose I was the brake man, so that was my remembering to brake is a plus, and the push. So the push and the brake, in between, I'm kind of like a dumb mule. I sit there and stay very still. So, but you have to be, you know, you have to be very much hanging on to your grips perfectly still, so the driver doesn't get, you're not fishtailing at the back, and the driver can make their lines.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, the streamlining, so you don't look around like a tourist, your head is down.
Wow, incredible. And that was for the Hungarian team.
Hungarian, yeah, bobsled team. So a bit like the European version of Cool Runnings. It had never, there's not many mountains or snow, never done it before. No. So the big objective was just to try to see if we could get to the Olympics and qualify. And then when we did, we were best small nation, new nation. So it's quite a nice start.
It's incredible.
But just to be there was amazing.
Yeah. And you did it for two Olympics.
Yeah.
And then you were running a couple of businesses, is that correct? Or running a business before then discovering Pilates. And how did you come to do that? How did it come into your life?
I was in the event sector, so we did events and parties all around the UK and London, etc., which is great. I was in there for a long time. I sold up. I started an audacious new venture that went spectacularly bust. So this is kind of silver lining story here. It went bust in a big way. It was an amazing venture, but it did fail. And at the same time, I got divorced. So I felt I kind of needed something. I didn't know that consciously, but I did need something. And one day I was in a gym doing my heavy weights, like that, my neck wobbling around, and came out of the gym, and this woman came up to me and said, Jill, bless her, who we're still very close friends, would you like to try some reformer Pilates? I said, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, it's Pilates on machines. I said, okay. And I went into the studio and I looked at these machines and I saw this foot bar and a few springs. I said, yeah, it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. Of course, no problem. And she destroyed me in 3 minutes and I was quivering and shaking and sweating. And it had my attention immediately. And I felt ridiculous. I mean, I felt very like, how could I possibly get anywhere with this? But it was an immediate love affair, an immediate something triggered.
Yeah.
And coupled with my stage in my life then, I felt like I need something like this. You know, I need something to focus on, but also it feels right.
Yeah.
I didn't have any sort of big grand plan. It just, it was a connection that was made immediately.
How wonderful that it came from just someone approaching you and
encouraging
you to give it out.
And she said the first time, she said, have you thought about teaching? And I openly laughed in her face. I said, look at me. I mean, I can barely touch my knees. You know? And then again, that's that typical male response. It's all about flexibility.
Yes.
Which it isn't. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a part of it. But my assumption was, well, you know, if you call me from behind, I had to turn my whole body to you know, at that point, I had no rotation, trunk, neck, everything else. So I was very much a prop gym build. Mm-hmm. I would have never dreamt that I'd be in this world now.
Do you feel like your body feels entirely different to how it did back then?
100%. I mean, I'm not a spring chicken, but even back then I was, you know, getting out of bed and it would take a while to adjust and, you know, the back and the neck to ease off.
Mm-hmm.
But mobility-wise, I mean, it's just chalk and cheese.
Because is it something that within rugby training you would focus on mobility as a particular part of the training? Or was it a case of you just go to the gym, you make sure you do stretches at the end and then you train?
Well, you know, I suppose I'd equate myself with a lump of dumb muscle, really. So, you know, you were there to shove and shunt. And, of course, there's skills and technique.
Mm-hmm.
But also coming from a slightly different era in rugby as well, it's much more sophisticated and progressed. And so I, you know, at that point, if I'm perfectly honest, no.
Mm-hmm.
I look back now, if I do workshops, I talk about rugby. I talk about, well, look at the scrum.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a rugby player to understand what's going on there.
Yeah.
And all that sort of... I don't know, lumbopelvic stability and scapular stability, all those things we had to practice, which I wouldn't be able to explain to you at that point in time or articulate, although it was also encapsulated in just muscles. So I was just set and that was it. probably doing an awful lot of things wrong. But had I, with hindsight, been able to practice Pilates, I think I would have had, I know I'd have reaped the rewards, which is why all the big clubs and, you know, internationals are doing it now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So after you'd had your first experience and she suggested potentially that you could look into training as an instructor, mm-hmm. was that something you were like, yeah, I'm ready to go? Or did you give yourself a bit of time to explore the repertoire, to explore? You were like, nope, let's go.
No time.
I was heading,
I mean, I did some of her classes and felt like a complete fish out of water, but I knew this was something. I didn't have to think about it. I wouldn't have, like many students I get calling me now, where do I start? There's so many options out there. Mm-hmm. I didn't know, other than I went with Polestar because they were a big name and someone mm-hmm. said that they're great and it's good in-depth training. So I was told I need to have some anatomy background first. So I did my dip in anatomy first. And again, all those things were good for me to keep going, keep busy, considering the circumstances I'd been in.
Yeah.
So it gave me a focus and gave me distraction. And you know, as soon as I finished the diploma, I signed up straight away for comprehensive, really not knowing what I'm getting into mm-hmm. and how much is involved. But I did commit. I mean, I knew that you have to commit a lot of time, energy, mm-hmm. and focus. But I didn't want to do anything else. I had no distraction. I was in that mm-hmm. space where I just wanted to go in and learn. Yeah,
and
just do it.
Immerse yourself in it, which is what's so nice, I guess, about it, is that you can do it every day and you can just keep growing, keep learning. And even now, we're still growing, we're still learning. And that's what's so amazing about it, isn't it, I guess?
And also, it's an embracing community. So, you know, I was in a, I suppose, if I'm honest, a dark space. Mm-hmm. So the people on the course, they weren't intrusive, but they're also embracing. And, you know, you kind of felt in good hands, so to speak. Couldn't move, but I felt in good hands. I was looked after.
That's amazing. And you've spoken quite openly in the past about the fact that you were coming into what was at the time and still is a heavily female dominated industry. And you've again spoken quite openly about the fact that you found that potentially quite intimidating, quite overwhelming. And then can you speak to that a little bit in terms of how you kind of transitioned through that, the experience of being maybe the only male in a training scenario?
Yeah, I mean, it's changed an awful lot. Mm-hmm. But it's still the case. You go to a workshop, you go to courses, mm-hmm. very few men. Mm-hmm. So making that full transition to this world, it was intimidating. Mm. I suppose I was very acutely conscious and aware that I was not a great mover. I had no real range in any kind of section of my body. Mm-hmm. And I would overutilize my strength and power, which is counterproductive.
Yes.
Because now my main strapline that I use is softness is your strength. So knowing where to soften so that you can do what you need to and want to do. I had no concept of that before. But also being in a room of women, well, as I said, it's nurturing, but equally most of them would have been pretty good movers, pretty naturally quite flexible, not necessarily gymnasts or dancers or anything else. But so it kind of amplified my insecurity in some ways. So it was a difficult process. Mm-hmm. I kind of kept the faith and went with it. And I could see very, very immediate benefits. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to the naked eye of someone else, it might not be apparent, but I felt something different.
Definitely.
So,
is that almost kind of what motivated you to become an instructor? Because as you could start to see your body that had been able to do 2 Olympics, play rugby for 20 years, and you could start to see something changing within your body that kind of gave you the motivation to be like, other men could benefit from this if I put myself in this scenario and try to bring it to, you know, more of a male perspective or athletic as well. I think that's quite an important address because athletes are definitely starting to take it on board, but it could be even more really from a younger age as well.
I think selfishly it was for me at that point, very much for me. I didn't know where I was going with it. But I did feel good. I couldn't really pinpoint what it was, and I did feel changes in the body. Yeah. I had no idea that the changes would be so great. Mm-hmm. I still struggle with. I mean, I was 47 when I was doing that, so I was already, you know, things were getting set in stone in my body, and I had to work really hard and still do. You know, so it's a work in progress to keep working at these areas and things that I will never completely unfurl. I can't. Change my morphology or makeup completely, but I yeah, so that's kind of where it was initially. But then I kind of became more aware and conscious that we're are the guys,
yeah.
You know, we're the men here. So when I finally started off, and I started at home, so I had a Reformer Cadillac Combo and taught a few people in the evenings, mm-hmm. After my own business hours.
Yeah.
And it started there, but no conscious business plan or design.
No.
Just doing other than one day I thought, I don't want this big contraption in my home. I mean, let me find a little room somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The little room I found was down the road in Putney, and it was a big room, a very big room, with my lonely little machine in the middle of it. But I thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. Again, no real business plan. But then there wasn't the pressure of it's like now,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say saturated, but a highly competitive market and booming area. But early on, I was very conscious of where are the men.
Mm-hmm.
So I did some research on the logos globally of Pilates Studios. And it's a thin, wispy woman, you know, doing Pilates,
mm-hmm.
which is immediately going to alienate some guys who, for many reasons, would feel like, well, it's all that being bendy and flexy, and yes. I can't do that. I won't get like that. Or it's a woman thing because all the logos are female.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, I'm going to start with a Charles Atlas type figure. And maybe I don't know the generations of Charles Atlas, but there's a big guy holding a ball,
mm-hmm.
a muscular guy holding a ball. And that was the outline. Because I wanted to appeal to the male market, but also there was strength in the image, there was alignment, there was symmetry, there was balance. So all those messages were in that one simple. And to date, that's my logo. And, you know, that was the beginning of the quest and always trying to get guys in. Whereas now, it's changing rapidly. It's a very different scenario. So
you're starting to see more men coming in. Brilliant. I
mean, it was traditionally, you know, husbands and boyfriends being dragged by the partners, saying, you know, so, okay, I'll do this to please you kind of thing.
Yet to drag mine in, but yeah.
Or my chiro said I should do it, or my osteo said I should do it.
Yeah.
Whereas now, you know, men are volunteering, men are signing up on their own, and, you know, more and more. Mm-hmm. Again, as I said, there's still, you look at an average group class, you look mm-hmm. at workshops, still a lot of, you know, mostly women, so I'm mm-hmm. a man in a woman's world, but that is fast changing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah. It is.
Brilliant. Amazing. Okay, so you had done your training, you had opened up your first studio here and marketed to a broader spectrum, including more male clients. And then did you decide that Balanced Body was a sort of a brand that you resonated with and you felt that you wanted to explore a little bit more in depth?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you became a master instructor?
Well, before the relationship came on board, I bought this equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And our hands on heart, as we discussed earlier, it's pretty. You know? I like it. It looks good.
It's and aesthetically pleasing.
Aesthetically
for sure.
pleasing, and it works in most environments and with most designs.
Yes.
And I knew enough to know they put a lot of attention to detail. And mm-hmm. the founder of Balanced Body, Ken Endelman, he's an engineer and worked so hard on this stuff.
So well thought out.
Yeah. And I had this stuff for a few years, for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And you know, it stood the test of time. And then it was later on that I got sort of more familiar with who Balanced Body were, and then realizing they have a big education program, a global education program.
Mm.
And if I'm really honest, some of the schools for me I found very black and white in the approach. It's this way or the highway.
Yes.
And we're much more diverse now with our approach to Pilates. Yes, you can question some of the origins. You can question some of the styles.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good that it's out there. It's good that it's, you know, become such a big thing and people are recognizing massively. The value of it. But what I found when I was doing my training, I found it was a little bit, I felt I came out thinking I had to be all things to all people.
Mm-hmm.
And that threw me for a long time until I found my own voice and realized, well, no, I can't be all things to all people. This is where I like to train. This is my background.
Mm.
This is what I like to bring to it. And I took a while to get comfortable with that. So meeting Balanced Body and getting into their culture and ethos, I realized that they were very embracing that here is the content. Here's the stuff that you deliver. Here's the stuff that the students who are doing their teacher training have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But do it in your own voice. You know, do it in your own style. I don't have to pretend to be a classical person with a classical background.
Yeah.
Or even pretend that every single exercise I can execute perfectly.
Yes.
You know, Reformer 3 Advanced, there's a few exercises you very rarely get to do.
Yeah.
But we need to understand them. We need to understand the mechanics of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I just love that kind of message that
it's a really nice
your way.
Approach to a training platform,
mm.
first and foremost, because I think, like you say, you come into an industry that is huge now, and it can be very overwhelming with the amount of courses that are available, and being able to choose a course where it's not hard and fast in one way and you have the opportunity to explore so much within the realm of it, but yeah. This is the baseline, this is the sort of the basics, and then you can kind of play with it as you feel, as you see fit, as it feels good within your body, and that you enjoy teaching and that you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And that will be why people come to you, and that's why people will enjoy training with you, because you have that certain niche that you like to explore, I guess, which is nice.
Yes. Yeah, the interpretation is great. As long as you know, mm-hmm. you're safe, you apply the principles. Mm-hmm. You know, I always draw people back to, we have this expectation that it's a dancer's realm. It was a dancer's realm. Joseph Pilates, you know, he worked with the City Ballet.
Mm-hmm.
But actually look at him. He was a brutal, mm-hmm. strong,
boxer,
tough guy, in amazing shape. So, and you know, if you go back to the origins, it was called Contrology, not Pilates. Pilates to honor him.
Mm-hmm.
But how we control our body, how we hold our body. So that takes away some of the restrictions in terms of, well, what can I, can't I do?
Mm.
I go back to the gym now and I'm very conscious or subconsciously, what we call unconscious competence, applying my Pilates knowledge to my gym work, and it's so much more productive.
Absolutely.
And yeah, to have fun with it, you know, and we all have different objectives. So I like variety. That, I guess that's my USP. I like to mix things up. I like to throw in a bit of the unexpected, not going crazy and jumping up and down and moving reformers, kettlebells.
No.
But you know, just to ask questions of the body and the physicality,
mm-hmm.
and the conscious stroke to subconscious, unconscious,
mm-hmm.
Movement. So, and that's how it worked for me. I progressed very consciously working on my weaknesses and challenges until it became some of it. Quite a lot of it, hopefully, what we call an unconscious competence. I don't have to think about it. Like mm-hmm. now, mm-hmm. in the past, I just thought about it. In the past, I'd be here.
Yes.
I'm not even thinking about this. I'm much more comfortable.
Yeah.
I know I'm under the scope by you, but I'm much more comfortable, and I'm not thinking about it. I'm just doing it.
Yeah.
That's how I practice.
No, that's so true. And we spoke briefly before we started recording about, yes, it's movement based and we do consider the body as a majority of what Pilates is, but there's so much more to it in terms of the mind and the soul. Can you speak to that in terms of how you found that side of things?
Yeah, I'll answer that. But just to go back a second in answer to your previous question as well, when I start the courses to the students, I say, maybe now start thinking about what kind of instructor you might want to be.
Mm-hmm.
What floats your boat? You know, what gets you inspired? How will you sustain yourself in this career?
Yeah.
Rather than pigeonhole yourself and say, well, I'm naturally quite a mover and athletic and dynamic in my past, and I like that. So if I'm going to go to clinical or rehab, is that going to keep me happy?
Mm-hmm.
So start thinking about that. And now I forgot your last question.
So have I.
Yeah.
The mind and soul side of things.
At first, I didn't make that clear connection. I just know I felt good afterwards,
mm-hmm.
And then it became more of an awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Just like so many clients come in, and you know, whether it's I know challenges at home, whether it's business, it's work, it's stress, it's contracts, it's timelines. They come in with that stuff,
mm-hmm.
heads full. And you see it and you read it, and that's what we have to perceive. We have to you know, cotton onto that sometimes without the words. But then seeing the difference between that client that comes in and that client that leaves the room,
mm-hmm.
and they say it. They say, well, that was a tough workout, but I feel great.
I
feel good. and why? Because being simplistic, if I'm in the gym, I do 10 arm curls, I can be thinking about, oh, Tasha's coming this afternoon. What am I going to say? I've got no idea what I'm going to say to her in the interview, mm-hmm. or anything like that. Whereas if I'm on the reformer, I really have to invest. I have to really think about what I'm doing, my movement. Plus, the instructor invariably is bombarding me with cues. So I'm really, you know, I'm invested in this. I'm here.
You're very present.
You're very present. You have to be.
One of the only, as far even for me, I think it's the only form of exercise where you have to be so present and so in tune with your body and your mind and your breath, that you don't have time to think about anything else because you're so aware of what's happening in your body and what's happening on the reformer and what this instructor's telling you. But if you were to go for a run, which is what a lot of people do to clear their head, which is great, I think it's still a brilliant tool, or walking or whatever else it is that you do to move your body, But majority of the time, you're still thinking about whatever is playing on your mind. Mm. Whereas in here, you get a whole hour to escape those thoughts and just tune in with how you're feeling. And that is, I have to say, one of the biggest things for me anyway.
I agree. Yeah. 100%. Which is why I do a lot of it. You know, I do a lot with clients. Mm-hmm. The clients I have, the one-to-ones, they, you know, I ask them, they say, well, I actually like it if you do it with me. You know, maybe they're visual and, you know, we're doing this together. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little bit obsessed with movement anyway. Mm-hmm. So, but I know it helps me. It helps me here. Again, if only I knew that before.
Mm-hmm. So if someone who may be athletic was looking to either experience it or train as an instructor, is there anything in terms of advice that you might give them?
I mean, we've kind of partially answered that, but I think for me, it's demystification. So let's kind of put this to one side, you know, what Pilates is about. And, you know, don't say, oh, I'm not very flexible, so I can't do it. Because I guarantee you, if you want challenge, you'll get challenged. Mm-hmm. If you want to be beasted, and I don't mean that in an incorrect way, but if you want to be worked hard, you can be worked hard. And it's a very comprehensive workout. Suck it and see, try it, and you'll know very quickly. Mm-hmm. That said, I always quip that it's you know, we're like hairdressers. You know, so not that I've got much left, but you know, you typically, if you have hair, when I had hair, when you go to one or two or three, you know, you keep going until you find the one that really knows what you want and understands you. So the relationship is very important. You know, I've had clients coming to me before said, okay, I'm trying this again. I've done it before. I didn't really like it. And it could have been just that one-off experience. Mm. So whether mat work didn't resonate for them in the church hall, whether it, and the amazing classes in church halls, don't get me wrong, absolutely, but whether that just didn't resonate, whether it was the teacher's tone or approach, the teacher's style, the style of the studio, you know. So, and then you take them through the different style and paces, like, okay, bing, I didn't realize it could be like that. So I think, you know, I would, if I have a new guy, if I have guys in, whether they want to train to be teachers or whether they're coming as clients, I say, let me take you through a little workout, you know. And I know it's simplistic, but it's what worked for me is I would challenge them. Mm. I'd take stock of their background, their sports, and I look at their physicality, and I would challenge them. Mm-hmm. Say, okay, how's that feel? Mm. Oh, wow, okay, I didn't expect that. Yeah. And then invariably you have their attention. I have, you know, men time and again coming in with that sort of attitude. Mm. So I have to approach it perhaps a little bit differently. And I don't want to be sexist, because it could be female lifters, CrossFitters, you know, rowers, strong individuals who kind of a little bit dismissed it or seen this as purely a rehab thing.
Yes.
So for me, this underpins all movement. Mm-hmm. This has got to be a foundation, a platform for anything else I do. And I love doing other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I did long cycle on the weekend. I do my circuits. You know, I do my gym, much less than I used to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I do all that stuff. This holds me together. This binds me.
It allows you to thrive in those environments and in those sports, because you, like you say, that foundation is there. So you can go out and have fun and do the things you actually love. Well, we still love this, but.
and stage in life, you can do this at any age for as long as you like. And I think it becomes more and more important, you know, the older you get, you need to modify, you need to adapt, you need to adjust. So, you know, for me, I'm really grateful that I'm in this world and I can still move as I do. I'm still and never going to be picture perfect. I will still critique my own posts or be honest and say, look, you know, I really struggle with this, a shoulder flexion, better than it used to be, I need to keep working on it. Yeah. But I'm coming from a different background.
Yes.
So I try not to be too polished. No. And when I'm running the courses, I the first thing I probably pick out is my flaws. Mm-hmm. So look at this and look at this. I mean, it's way better than it was, but I still struggle with
my
these things.
My lordotic will never change.
Lordotic won't change. Spinal extension, shoulder flexion, whatever it is.
That. But we just keep working on it. And like you say, I think because as we get older, it's about that longevity. It's about being able to sustain this for a much longer time so that we can do what we want to do for as long as possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I agree.
Incredible. So if someone was looking to choose a course and they were looking at balanced body, is there anything specifically that you found within the training that maybe sets them apart from other establishments, or particularly you feel that they can gain from coming and trying out? And if that is the case, is it mat first and then into the reformer, or is it fully comprehensive? How do you think most people should sort of approach that start to their potential career?
Big questions.
That's quite a few in there, yeah, sorry.
That's all right. I think it falls on the instructor. So I'm very honest when people call me. I say, look, you know, because many will say, I'm confused. There's so many options out there.
So many.
Rightly so. So I said, well, the best thing you can do, and I always, if somebody contacts me, I almost insist on a conversation rather than emails to and fro, here's the list.
Yes.
Which I've seen a lot of that. Just here's the stuff, you know, sign up if you want to.
Yeah.
So I want to get the tone of the person's voice. I want them to hear my tone. I want them to hear my story. Mm. Not tell more about me, but just, you know, how I came to be in this world and my view on it. And the key thing there is from my learning, from my training, which is incredible, by the way, and I highly value and to this day carry it with me, my first training, Polestar, I want to teach in a collaborative way, not a non-preachy way.
Mm-hmm.
So to that end, the material, the manuals are very well laid out. You know, the imagery is there. It's clear the progressions are there. It gives you the setup. It gives you the details about cueing, about the purpose, about precautions, contraindications. Mm. So, you know, that material is very useful when you're out of here after the weekend or weekends and doing your self-practice.
Yes.
As I said before, thinking about kind of what kind of area do I want to go into? Am I a PT? Why am I going to do this?
And that's it. I think a lot of the time it can look like one job, a Pilates instructor. And actually there's so many different scenarios within that one role that you could work your way through. And it's just trial and error, isn't it? Just trying to figure out what it is within that you enjoy.
Yeah. And many people may not know that at the beginning, but they start questioning. So in your practice, you're obliged to go around and try different classes. You start to feel different vibes and approaches. So it's good to think about it. And I try to leave as much as I can, not too much, but something to interpretation in the manuals.
Mm-hmm.
So to get thinking a little bit outside the box sometimes and think about, okay, this is stipulated here. We can question the manuals. I'd be the first to say. Sometimes the suggestions, the springs are, very few people will be able to manage that. So how do we calculate that? How do we negotiate that? How do we think about that? How will this benefit me as an individual? Because that's the best platform, that's the best base. You know, my story, your story, whoever's been in this world, you know, your own story really matters. Yes. It counts.
Yeah.
So how does it feel for me? What has it done for me? And that's the best way that you can, I think, put that across.
Yes.
And, you know, the boom is on. The boom is completely on. All the big gym chains are opening studios. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, some are massive numbers. There are lots of boutique studios opening left, right, and center.
Yes.
So, you know, it's kind of defining and considering where you want to be in that picture. Mm-hmm. Is it for yourself? Is it a bit of teaching? Is it part-time?
Yes.
What kind of energy are you bringing to it? And that's the other thing I always say, bring your personality. Because I have encountered instructors that are technically brilliant, but it's a very dry, monotone approach.
Yes.
And then those that are, I don't know, dynamic, fun, have a sense of humor even about themselves, hopefully. Not too much ego. Every industry has egos. I think bring yourself and show your character, and that's what a lot of clients will tap into.
Yes.
And not be intimidated, because we all start with the absolute basic repertoire. Stick with it. I say stick to the manual. Don't get fancy. Don't do the fancy tricks. Ignore my Instagram, because I'm down the road a bit. But you know, just bring yourself.
Yes.
Because it's very much about relationships, very much. People stick with us for
years. Without a doubt, I couldn't agree more, actually. There's so much to be said about the relationships you build. And also, these are people that you will probably see every week, if not 2-3 times a week. So if you don't have a good relationship with them, or if they don't, you know, if you don't feel that there's some sort of, not chemistry, what's the word? Synergy
connection.
Connection between the two of you, or between a class and an environment. It has to feel good for both you and the client, and that's like you say, like the relationship between you and the people that you're training is a huge part of what you do.
And not discounting the fact that people can feel very vulnerable when they come, you know, very exposed. You know, whether it's a lack of mobility, whether it's weight, whether it's all sorts of different things. So your tonality is really important. Your presence is really important. How you stand next to them. Are you standing up over them, just peering down at them, barking orders? Are you kneeling down next to them? You know, the styles of cueing that we have all these tools in our kit bag. So, yeah. You know, it's important to find the right connection with the people.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Incredible. And so what does a day in the life look like for you at the moment? Now that you have this beautiful new studio.
Yeah, blog interviews day in, day out. No, I found a place I'm very happy in, you know, sort of physically as well. So we're in a lovely studio. It's not just because it's got pretty things in it. It's actually, it just has a vibe to it. Mm. It's got daylight and all these things. So in terms of somewhere to come to work, if we call it work, it's very welcoming. For me, it varies because I'm down this track now of running the teacher trainings for Balanced Body. So I'm an authorized training center for Balanced Body. So a lot of the energy goes there now. Mm-hmm. So running lots of courses through the year. So whether it's mat, reformer, even motor, movement principles. So yeah, that's a whole new strand that we're running down. So, and also, you know, we double up as a bit of a show space for Balanced Body. So we have a great relationship. And they send their clients, Katja, who's their rep in the UK, will bring clients, and then I can take them through some movements, explain to them what I feel are the benefits of the equipment. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a nice kind of, I suppose, three-pronged activity that I really enjoy. But certainly this training and, I suppose, somewhat mentoring, it's nice to kind of pay it forward
that
sort of thing.
It's a nice avenue to go down when you get to that stage of doing it for almost 15 years.
Yeah.
You say 15 years?
Yeah.
But you now feel like there's that element where you, like you say, passing it on, that's a great space to be in. And seeing the new people come in and so ready to learn, that's a nice environment to be in on a daily basis as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing, isn't it, is that people are spending good money on doing this. Stuff is expensive. Mm-hmm. Pilates is expensive. Equipment, doing the courses. So you invariably have people that want to be here. So that makes life a little bit more, they're invested.
Makes the day a bit more fun, knowing that they want to be here.
Yeah, it does. It does, yeah. And it helps.
Yes.
Hopefully, yeah.
Well, I'd like to think that the clients want to be here as well.
Yeah, me too.
What advice would you give to anyone who's sort of in the thick of their Pilates career and trying to avoid the burnout, maybe a little bit lost? Is there anything specific? We kind of have already touched on it, is that finding that niche that you feel really sort of powerful in. But any sort of burnout tips that people who are just going through the daily grind of teaching nearly 4, 5, 6 classes a day? And
it's a very difficult question, because if you're in this, you know, to make a living, and you have your thresholds, you have your mark, you know, you have your quota, and you've got to meet it day in, day out. Mm. It's a luxury to say, I'm going to pull back. Or you have your regular clients. Are you going to chop these people that have been with you for years?
Yes.
So really, really very difficult. I would say probably more regular breaks, and what you do with those breaks, whether it's weekends or small holidays or retreats, maybe reconsider, is it the style I'm teaching? Mm-hmm. Is there a different style? Is there something that's more personal to me that I would enjoy? Over a period of time, you can change, as I have. I've sort of reduced my one-to-one teaching hours to accommodate for the trainings. I teach a couple of classes a week. I really enjoy them, but I something had to give for me to push the training forward. So it takes time, the reevaluation, but giving yourself, I suppose, that headspace to think about it.
Stepping away from it.
And it's brave. It's a brave move, you know, to actually make a seismic shift.
Yes.
You know, and restructure how you work. And, you know, would it be better if I did more classes? You know, but I feel a bit more, you know, it's that group mentality. And
do you get off the energy of other people, or would you rather be one-on-one? Yeah, and that makes such a difference to your energy for the day. And
yes, definitely. And I think we all go through those phases where we hit a wall and think, oh, okay, I'm a bit wiped out. Yes. I had that, you know, not too long ago. I had a whole year of negotiating the studio space, negotiating with different parties, getting the courses up and running, running them, many of them, you know, and by the end of the year, I was like, oof, okay, I'm depleted.
Yes.
And you end up just doing, reacting, going on adrenaline, and then not taking stock. So I made a conscious effort to build in more breaks this year.
Good.
That was my approach.
That's a great piece of advice. Should all be listening to. Yeah. And then, I guess, to finish, it's a big question, but what does Pilates mean to you?
I suppose wholesome. Yeah, it's something wholesome.
I love that.
Holistic, wholesome. That's, I'm not thinking about that. Those words pop to mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel grounded. I feel rounded. Hopefully not here too much. But yeah, I feel connected.
Mm.
You know, all those things that we look for is the eternal quest, isn't it, for balance. Mm. It gives me a whole host of things. You know, it gives me an equilibrium. It gives me some sort of centering. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of the principles and pilates, it gives me.
Yeah.
So balance in life. Mm-hmm. You know, again, things that we're looking for, that, you know, work-life balance, all these things. Yeah. It's a great way to exist. And it was a lifestyle choice, because initially going into it, I thought, well, am I going to, having run businesses before, am I going to, you know, am I going to sustain myself by doing one-to-ones? What is this? Mm. But this time I didn't really think about it too much, didn't analyze it. So I love movement. I love all my life. I love exercise.
Mm.
So it's a pretty logical place to be. Mm. I can decide on any given day, am I going to plop down with the client and do it with them, or am I going to stand there and talk to them and guide them?
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful. Yeah, very grateful. And, excuse me, I'm not getting emotional. I'm just getting a frog in my throat. Maybe I'm getting emotional. Bear with me a second. Yeah, no. So, it's a great witch. I'm very grateful. It was a rescue for me.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's one that, no, it's the best choice ever made.
Amazing. I agree, for me as well.
Good. Great to hear it. Yeah.
And even just being able to come and share it with yourself and other instructors, and now, and I've only just got started, but it's going to be exciting to hear from more and more people that have, you know, hopefully had the same experience. And that's why we're all here, right?
Which is... It's a community, for sure. Mm. And I think it's great what you're doing. I think it's getting that message out there. Oh. So.
Thank you.
Different approaches, different backgrounds, you know, why the whys,
mm-hmm.
why are we doing this, why are we here?
Yeah, that's the conversation, always. Mm. Incredible. Brilliant. And so I guess to wrap up, do you want to let people know where they can find you, or on social media, or your websites?
So my tag for Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram is My Pilates London.
Mm-hmm.
MyPilatesLondon.com is a website. We're authorized Balanced Body Training Center. I'm a master educator for Balanced Body. So this year I will have run about 15 courses. So that will be, you know, when I say courses, that means modules. So Reformer contains 4. And I just realized a question of yours I didn't answer earlier on. So that's 4. So you do Reformer 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beginner, intermediate, advanced, plus your movement principles, biomechanics,
etc. Do you need to have the map certification before
starting? That's the question I didn't answer before, so finding out I twigged. It was the case, and for many it is still the case, but now no, the entry point can be Reformer. There's a huge demand for entry point to be Reformer.
Mm-hmm.
I urge and encourage Matt, so but you can start with Reformer, and you know, I've just taught a studio group who started Reformer, and we then went on and did Matt.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you feel like there's a difference in any which way you go around? Or do you found that people who had Matt then came to the Reformer with a bit more knowledge? Or do you feel people that came from Reformer? Yeah.
For sure. But then again, it's where do you come in the cycle?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we've just done our Matt training. So, you know, Reformer's coming up, but you can't do that till you've done Matt. So that changed, and people don't want to wait necessarily.
Yes.
There's enough material and substance and detail in the courses and the manuals to say, well, this is a progression from this mat exercise.
Okay, good. Yeah.
I would highly urge, though, if you are going straight into Reformer, then take some mat classes as well, not just Reformer classes.
Yeah.
So you know what a bridge is, you mm-hmm. know what cat-cow is, you know some of the basics,
yeah.
you know what hundreds are.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the language. It's a whole language.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure, and I've enjoyed training with you as well. It's been so much fun, and we'll be back soon.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it and found it valuable. If you love what you heard, we'd really appreciate it if you could take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your preferred platform. Your feedback helps us improve and reach more listeners just like you. Don't forget to subscribe to LuxCore Pilates podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you want to stay updated with all things LuxCore, be sure to follow us on Instagram at LuxCore Collection. Thanks again for tuning in. Join us next week for more discussions on all things Pilates.